Today we're talking about how to save money on travel. In Ireland, in college, I got on a rodeo bull. It ended with my front tooth being knocked out. So I ate a curry last night and I looked in the mirror and the tooth was neon green. If you hear some weird noises in the background, my cat's like running around at the moment. There is a classic exchange, but Aer Lingus basically really quickly transferred me 1,200 euro. Welcome back to another episode of These Corners of the World Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly O'Brien. I'm an Irish girl traveling the world. I've been to 79 countries so far, some of them multiple times, and I've lived in 6 countries. This is a podcast basically all about travel. Sometimes it's from the destination itself, sometimes it's tips and tricks, sometimes it's just funny stories about my travels. And today we're talking about how to save money on travel in general. But first, let me draw your attention to the new setup we've got going here. I think it's a lot more professional. Shout out to my boyfriend, Sam, who edits this podcast, and this was his suggestion. Love it. We will still be going, you know, and recording sometimes on different destinations, like you would have seen recently in Tangier. We did an episode there. But while I'm here, you know, I figured it would be like a more professional setup to do something like this and have, you know, little things around and keep it consistent. So yeah, we're growing. I still am, you know, propping my mic up on books, but we can't be 100% perfect, so here we are. Funny story first, before we get into it, is that this, by the way, it's just some notes for myself. I've not quite written a script yet, but you know, I feel like I want to be more ad hoc, but I've written some little pointers because, you know, saving money on travel, it's quite specific. We're going to go into some facts and figures and numbers and stuff later. But basically, first, I just wanted to give an update on my life. Basically, I've been a bit ill lately, which, as you know, because I recorded the Ireland podcast while I was still quite ill, to be honest. Looking back on that is a bit cringy, but I know that you guys will forgive me. I got more antibiotics, and then it actually led into a dental issue. So it's a long story, but when I was like 22 in Ireland in college, I got on a rodeo bull, like a mechanical rodeo bull in a bar, and it ended with my front tooth being knocked out, which was pretty awful. And I got a fake one at the time, you know, a permanent one, and a root canal. The nerve was damaged, and it wasn't, you know, done. It was done fine, but it failed, as it apparently happens sometimes with root canals. So fast forward to now, I have had some more dental issues as a result of being ill, and now I'm having to have the whole tooth out again and redo the root canal. So that it involves like 3 different citas. I'm in Spain, so my brain is appointments. 3 different appointments. I had the first one yesterday, and I had the tooth actually completely removed, and they put a temporary one in, and I was dreading it because I thought there would be anesthetic. There wasn't. I thought that it would take ages. It didn't. I thought that it would look completely awful. It didn't. At the time, now it kind of does, and I hope that this camera, if you're watching this on YouTube, I hope that the camera is far enough away that you can't see it. But basically, I didn't realize just how, I guess, porous might be the word. I didn't really realize how porous this new temporary, it's only for a week, tooth would be. So I ate a curry last night, and I looked in the mirror, and the tooth was neon green. Like, I'm not even kidding, like neon green. And I just scrubbed it, and it got a lot better, but it's still like discolored, like day one immediately. So if I'm talking kind of strangely, please know that that's why, because I just don't want to show the camera my green tooth. Anyway, important to maybe tie this to travel in some way. I guess I probably won't be traveling until this whole dental thing is over, because Or I probably won't even go out in public until this whole thing is over, because it's so embarrassing. Anyway, there's also a podcast-related update. So in episode 3, you might remember that I talked about third-party bookings and why you should never book a flight via third-party booking rather directly through the airline. I won't go into the whole thing again, but basically my situation was flying to Croatia and there was two flights involved, and the first flight had to emergency land in Paris and caused me, well, both of us, myself and my boyfriend, to miss the connecting flight. It was a whole ordeal. Go back to episode 3 if you want to learn more about that. But basically, last you guys heard, I was trying to get some sort of compensation for it, and I was just being denied left, right, and center. First of all, no help in the moment, and then I was being denied anything. And I was like, not having it. So the update is that I didn't get all of it yet, but I did get some of it. I'm actually surprised. But basically, the third-party website I booked through, Kiwi.com, they refunded me €62.86, which I believe was the cost of the flight that was missed. It's a small number to have been, you know, chasing, but I mean, it was the principal. I'm not sure if it was even the full amount, because I think maybe they couldn't refund me some of the, like, taxes and charges, but, you know, it was something. And then Vueling, actually, the airline which both flights were taken with, they refunded me €196.61, which was the one night's accommodation in Paris, where I got stuck overnight. I do still plan on chasing the one remaining cost or fee or compensation, which was the delay fee by law that you have to give if you're 3 hours or more late. So I'm still going through that process, basically. So even having gotten some refund, like, I still wouldn't advise anyone to book flights anywhere else than other than with the airline itself, because it's just added hassle, you know. If you hear some weird noises in the background, my cat's like running around. She may run up here, just ignore her. Unless she starts chewing on cables, then we might have to put her out. But this brings us to the raison d'etre of today's installment, which is saving money on travel. And the first tip, very related, is always know and chase your rights. Because if you've had a similar experience to the one I had, like, don't just give up on appealing for the refunds that you're entitled to. Like, in addition, like, if your flight is delayed, then Google whether or not you're due compensation, because if it's more than 3 hours, then legally you're supposed to get compensation, and the amount is determined based on how long the delay was and how long your flight is. For example, I traveled to the United States recently to attend some film festivals with my boyfriend, who I'm mentioning a lot in this episode. But shout out to Watkins Films. He made a cool documentary called The Vanishing Strings of the Andes, and it won some awards actually at those film festivals. But we went there for that, and we flew with Aer Lingus, and on the return leg the flight was delayed, and I applied for a compensation, you know, with Aer Lingus, and they were super responsive actually and extremely compliant. My cat is like chasing shadows. But Aer Lingus basically really quickly transferred me €1,200, so €600 per passenger is what we were entitled to, and it was super quick. And some airlines, as we know, are not as responsive as this, but, you know, do still apply. And on that, when you have a delay and you're like Googling, looking up compensation, the search results that come up will show you there might be sponsored adverts, or there might just be results that there will be third parties who will say, had a delay, you know, we'll process that claim for you. We'll just take a percentage of the fee when you get it. And if you don't get it, you don't pay anything, all that kind of stuff. Fine, it's a business model, but you don't need it. You don't need to do that. You can 100% apply yourself. Just Google it until you find like step by step how to do it. Google the exact airline and the words delay compensation, and you should find it pretty easily, basically. Then you just need to like fill out a form with the details of the flight and your details and send it to them. You don't need like a third party to do it. And it doesn't even save time, because the third party will ask you all these, you'll have to fill out something for them. So you're not even saving time by doing it. The second suggestion for how to save money on travel is to use, this is fun, to use a home swap or a house sitting, pet sitting service. So basically the first one I'm going to mention is homeexchange.com, which is a swapping service. I've not used it personally, but my friend has used it, and she seems like she had a great time, and I've heard a lot of good things about it independently of her as well. And it costs $220, which is around 200 euros for a year-long membership for homeexchange.com. So basically, to save money on it, you'd have to either want to swap for a long period of time or multiple times in a year. So like, let's say a hotel room costs like 50 euro a night. Maybe we should wait until Nairobi does her business. Wow, she seems to have stopped. Let's say a hotel room costs about 50 euro a night. You need to swap for like 4 nights basically to break even on the subscription. And everything after that is like savings. And there are two different types of swaps on the platform that I'm looking at the moment. There is a classic exchange, which is where you give your house to another person on the website and they give you theirs, either for the same dates or like different dates. And then there's an interesting thing, which is an exchange with guest points. So let's say you're in Ireland and you want to go to France and there's a great listing in France that you found on Home Exchange, but those people don't want to go to Ireland, so they don't want to exchange, they want to go somewhere else. Well, then in that case, you might host someone else completely, receive what they call guest points for that, then use those points to book the place in France. And then the place in France can use the guest points that you pay to book where they do want to go. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea actually. And you know, while I personally haven't used this service, I do have an account. So you can actually sign up and create an account with them without ever paying anything and just look at all the listings. And then the part where you pay is if you're actually actively setting up an exchange that you're going to go on. So you don't need to pay until you're actively using it, which is quite good, actually. And since I have an account, I was able to get a referral code. Now, nobody has ever used a referral code I've ever put out into the ether, because basically I'm not like this big timey YouTuber or like influencer yet. Though I do have 10,000 followers on Instagram, but like, I don't even know if half of them are even real, but I mean, they're there. So if you do sign up to it using my code, it'll be a bit of a milestone for me. You don't have to pay anything, just sign up to it and you get like 250 guest points, it says, and so will I. I don't know exactly how much that equates to, but sounds like a lot. The code, which is super easy to remember, not, is Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, hyphen, F-88-C-8. I'll put it in the description, or maybe on screen somewhere. You basically put it in when you're creating the account and they said if they ask if you've been sponsored, which is kind of a weird way to put it, but that's what they mean by that. So next up is pet sitting, which I do all the time. So I'm quite excited to tell you about that. And I have a cat, as you may, she may be in screen or not. She is a bit of a handful. Nonetheless, people seem to want to take care of her. She's like a Maine Coon. She does look quite cool and she's bigger than the average cat, but she has some issues. She has like an internal throat defect, so she has a specific way of being fed. But I digress. This is about saving money on travel. So with the pet sitting one, you can either go and pet sit other people's pets while they're away, or you can have people come and pet sit your animal basically. So because of that, there are some different levels of membership based on, you know, what you want. Like you can have either or you can have both. There's some like extras like insurance and all this kind of thing you might want to pay for. So I pay 209 euro a year for like a combined membership. There's a more expensive one as well, but basically if you want to go only sit for other people and you only want like a basic package, it would be 119 euros a year. I mean, it's similar to Home Exchange, I think. But based on that, and again, assuming hotels are around 50 euro a night minimum, you'd need to stay somewhere for around 3 nights to kind of break even. But anything more than that is a savings, basically. And how it works is that you put up a listing or you browse other people's listings. So for me, I put up listings regularly because I travel a lot and 99% of the experiences I've had actually are great. And there've been like a lot of people here over the last couple of years I've been using this service actually. And people have ratings and reviews, so you can see those and read those and message them back and forth and then like interview them if you want to see if they're a fit. And at the other end of it, I've also actually gone and used the other half of it. I've gone and sat for other people most notably two cats in Long Island, so cute, and then this beautiful, really calm dog in Washington, D.C. He was great. Both really great experiences. I mean, you get to go and, you know, meet cute pets. The only downside is that you do fall in love with them and then you have to leave them. But you also get free accommodation, so that makes up for it. And I must say as well, it can be a little slow to get started with that one, because if you start and you have no reviews, you can get character references from people you know. You can send a link to someone and they can write something for you positively. But it takes, if they're categorized slightly differently. So it does take a few applications before you get your first pet sit and then get a review from that. Hopefully it's a good one if you've, you know, taken care of the place and the animal well. And it just kind of snowballs from there and you can get more sits from that, basically. I do here have another referral to share. This one's quite good because if you used it, it gets me 2 free months of membership. But it gets you 25% off membership if you decide to sign up. So what's that? 125% of 119 is almost 30 euro. So basically you get, that's actually not bad, like 30 euro off 119 euro of a year membership. Unhelpfully, there's no code. It's actually a link. It's actually a very long link. Running it through an URL shortener, it's rb.gy/u817u0. God damn it. I'm just going to put this in the description also because that's really ugly. Next tip to save money while traveling is to pack light. So I pretty much never go anywhere these days with a suitcase anymore. I only take like a small backpack, which is within the dimensions for a plane's personal item on board, which is always free no matter what ticket you're buying. And this has saved me, I don't even know, like so much money over the years. And it's actually taught me to be really economical in what I bring. And it's quite helpful because, you know, you're also not lugging around a ton of things in your destination, which can be particularly helpful if you're maybe flying into a country and then seeing a few different cities. You know, you don't want to be lugging around a 20 kg hold bag. So there's more benefits here than just saving money. But basically, you know, do you need 10 outfits? No, 3 outfits, basically. If you're going for longer, maybe 4, and then you wash them at your destinations or something like that. Do you need 3 pairs of shoes? Just the shoes that you're wearing, and make sure that they go with all the outfits you're bringing. Do you need face cream, eye cream, body moisture? Just leave those things at home. If you're going somewhere for like 2 weeks, your skin is not gonna have any difference if you don't do your usual night care skin routine for 2 weeks. Like, it's not gonna make a difference. Same thing with like supplements. You'll be fine for 2 weeks. Just bring the bare minimum. I wouldn't even bring paracetamol or things like that, because those things, if you need them, are cheap and at the destination that you're going. You know, do you need your laptop? No, unless you're actually doing work. Don't bring it just in case. Do you need your phone? Do you need your phone camera and your DSLR and your drone and your GoPro and like some sort of few lenses and all this kind? No. A phone camera. I'm recording this on a phone camera. You know, phone cameras these days are great. Do you need a selfie stick? Unless you're traveling solo, maybe. But no, if you're traveling with other people, get them to take the photo, or get strangers to take a group photo. Like, are you bringing a book? That's a great thing to bring, but maybe download the Kindle app on your phone and download your book there, or get Audible and download an audiobook. You know, you don't have to bring a physical book. You're just adding, you know, stuff to like bring with you. You know, you'll be fine. You don't need to bring a million things. It sounds drastic at the moment, but basically I lay out everything I think I need, and then I try and cut it in half. And it's actually a really good exercise in being a bit minimalistic, and it will save you money. How much money? Let's say I've written some things down here. Okay, we're taking Ryanair for an example, because they often have great sales on tickets. So let's say that you buy a flight for €9.99 one way. So return, you're spending almost 20 euro. You only have a personal item, luggage item, then that 20 euro is all you pay. So if you have hand luggage, you pay up to 38 euro one way more. And if you have hold luggage, For 10 kilograms, you pay up to almost 40 euro one way. 20 kilograms up to 60 euros one way. Almost, well, 59.99. So doing the maths on that, basically, the Ryanair flight you bought because you were so enamored with the 9.99 price tag, if you don't pack economically, you could be paying basically 140 euro return for you and your bags just to go there and back, basically. I mean, maybe you're only going for a weekend and you're paying like 140 euro. I mean, that number might still be small to you, but it represents like a 600% increase on what you would have paid just for the personal item. Like, it's definitely worth thinking about, because flights, not just Ryanair, like, you know, all airlines, they kind of, they've done a lot of research. I think they probably know people's psychology, and they're going to try and lure you in with cheap flights, and then they're going to get the money from you on your bags, basically. Next tip, I think it's tip number 5, is actually related. It's a seat selection tip on a plane. Some people feel like they might have personal preference here, which is fine, you know, if it's part of your rich life or whatever to always sit up the front or always get the extra leg room, then, you know, you do you, that's totally fine. But basically, I don't really care where I sit on the plane. What I care about is if I'm sitting with the person I'm flying with. If you're on your own, obviously fine, just do random allocation and I'll be happy. Maybe this might not be applicable for like families and stuff, but if you're a couple traveling or maybe a group of friends, that basically, I'll share what I do. What I do is I wait until the free check-in opens for the flight, then go through the motions for getting like a randomly allocated seat. And at the end of that process, you might be sitting together actually, it depends on the airline. But, you know, other times and certain airlines, you might not be. But usually one of you, if you're traveling with two people and you're sitting apart, usually one or both of you will have like, if it's early on in the check-in process, one or both of you will have like a free seat next to you. So at that point, you can then pay to move one of the people to beside the other one. And you'll have to pay for it, but it'll be cheaper than what you would have paid if at the start you paid for two seats. You know, because you could be paying like 16 euro to seat two people in cheap seats, or you could be paying 8 euro to move one person to the other person's randomly allocated seat. There is maybe the potential to get a bit stung or a bit unlucky on this with this one. It's unlikely, but, you know, perhaps you both get seated in exit rows or up the front, and then you have to pay like an even higher price. Maybe it's like 20 euro for those seats. But hey, like, you took a chance, you know, maybe you're paying, the loss is probably minimal. You're probably only paying an extra euro or two, and you probably did end up with a better seat. So it's a game that I like to play, but you decide if that one's for you. The sixth tip I would say to save money is definitely to use booking.com, actually. This is not paid for or anything sponsored by booking.com. I just really love that service and I do use it all the time. And if you use with them enough, you get to like this genius tier level, which is where you'll unlock certain discounts and certain perks, like free room upgrades or sometimes free breakfast, which I've actually used and gotten, and they do seem to be really real. And also their customer service is really good. So if there's any issues, I haven't run into many issues, but like two or three times I've had to over the years message booking.com, and they're really, really responsive and they get back straight away and they sort everything out. They're definitely like a customer focus as opposed to like an accommodation focused thing, as an accommodation owner focused, which I don't want to diss anyone, but I think that Airbnb is probably geared more towards helping the hosts, the owners of the establishments. Having said this, when you do find a place you want to stay on booking.com, just before you book it, I think it might be worth going and Googling the name of the hotel and finding the hotel's website, because often they do have their own internal booking system and they might sometimes be cheaper. It'll be minimal, like, you know, a couple of euros probably, not too much. And you'll have to weigh it against if you're getting anything extra on booking.com by booking. Like, are you getting a free late checkout? Are you getting free something else? Make that decision, but you could look and then it's worth comparing, basically. Tip number 7, you should definitely research the destination you're going to, which sounds pretty obvious, but basically researching specifically attractions, which ones you want to go to, and then seeing and Googling if any of those have days that are free entry, because many museums, for example, have free entry often on a Sunday or maybe a Sunday after 2 p.m., off days, that kind of a thing. And you can actually then tailor your itinerary and what you want to do based on, you know, the days that are free. Like, there's no point going to a museum on Saturday and paying for it if you're also there on Sunday and it's free, you know. So if you do a bit of research there, you could save some money. And also looking into the destination in terms of public transport, you may well find actually that the public transportation is so good that you don't need to maybe rent a car and pay for that and pay for the gas and then pay to park it somewhere. Maybe public transportation is actually pretty good. It's kind of sometimes a little difficult to work out public transportation in places because everywhere has like their own system. And if it's in a country that has a language that isn't your language, then perhaps it's a bit difficult. But I think it's worth putting in the effort in that one because you might find that there's some really good metro system or something like that. The eighth tip is actually related to like your phone and Wi-Fi charges. Pretty much everyone, I'd say, will want Wi-Fi when they get to a destination, unless they're super familiar with the place or they're having a package holiday or something where they're getting collected and ferried from place to place, that you would probably want Wi-Fi when you're just walking around. If nothing else, just for safety, peace of mind, knowing that you can access, you know, Google Maps when you're out and about, that you're not going to get lost. So basically, it's not really applicable, I guess, if you're in the EU and you're traveling to another EU country because your phone will work in any country. But let's say you're going to like a different country, you're going to Africa, or you're going to like the States or something, then you will want Wi-Fi, like a plan, basically, for your phone. So you have two options. I've done both options. They're both fine. It's up to you. But the first one is, upon arrival, find somewhere that sells SIM cards. Usually at the airport, there's probably, usually it's like a stall and it will say like local SIMs or something like that. They probably usually speak some English. They're not very expensive. Like, they don't tend to be ripoffs, which is great. And they'll also even install it for you into your phone in the airport. And then you have it. Like, the only thing with that is that it takes maybe, you know, 15, 20 minutes to like find a place, wait in line, get the plan you want, have them install it, maybe even up to half an hour. So if you're in a rush or if you're arriving really, really late at night, then perhaps it's not for you. But it's a very good option if you can do it. You would have to also make sure that your phone is unlocked and can accept a local SIM card before you travel. The alternative, if also your phone supports it, but most these days do, is to get an eSIM before arrival. I've done this a few times actually, and it's almost as economical as getting a local SIM, I would say. And you install it actually before you arrive. So you install it and nothing kind of happens because, you know, you're not in the destination country. But when you, you know, wheels on the tarmac get there, you can just click a button, I think, and it's, you know, already there because you've already installed it before you got there. And then when you hit the airport, it's like, or like activate it and it's ready to go, which is great if you want to save time. You don't want to be queuing, buying a local SIM. You can have something on the go. It starts pretty low. I think it's not too much money at all. I do have a referral code actually for $3, which is going to make me rich someday. Well, no, actually, jokes aside, like $3 is not bad because some of the plans are like $3 or $4 or $5 that you can get. This one's pretty. There's an app called Airalo, basically, which I have used in the past, A-I-R-A-L-O. And when you download that one, if you put the referral code Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 4155, pretty easy. Just create an account and put that referral code in. And what do you get? You'll get $3 off your first purchase. And then I'll also get $3 in credit. So, I mean, it's nothing, but basically it's a good chunk off your first purchase because, like I said, some of the plans aren't that expensive at all. They do get more expensive depending on if you want it for, you can get ones for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month, for longer. And, you know, there's 1 gigabyte, 2 gigabyte, 5 gigabyte. It does obviously get more expensive the more you want. But yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory, actually. If you download the Airalo app, they'll walk you through it. It's it can be a good option for if you're going somewhere and you want that peace of mind of knowing beforehand that you're gonna definitely have Wi-Fi as soon as you land. I've used it a few times, it's pretty good. The final tip is do use Skyscanner, but also search for on Ryanair, basically. So Skyscanner, again, not affiliated, not sponsored, nothing, is honestly the best website I've come across for like comparing the price of flights. They have great like filtering and sorting options. And it also highlights like which results are airlines, so you can book directly with the airlines, which, as I mentioned earlier, is what you want to be doing. But do also check Ryanair if you're in the EU, because I mean, let's face it, they do have the cheapest flights around at the moment, at least. And sometimes they're not really listed on comparison websites. It changes. Some comparison sites list them. A few months later, they might not list them. Now, I don't know why it changes so often, but it is worth checking both Skyscanner and Ryanair in case Ryanair is not listed in Skyscanner. I think at the moment it is, but just in case. That's pretty much it. I mean, there are other tips basically that I could say, but I think those have been covered pretty much elsewhere on the World Wide Web. So it's like, be flexible when you try and travel, you know, try and go in off season if you can. It's cheaper to go flying in midweek than it is the weekend, for example. One I would mention here is that if there are certain holiday days that you don't really care about, then flying on those days can actually be really useful. For example, Christmas Day or New Year's Day. I flew on New Year's Day this year and the price was way cheaper than the following day, because I guess probably, I'm just assuming here, but I think probably most people don't want to fly on Christmas, on New Year's Day, because they're probably hungover from partying the night before. I don't drink, so that wasn't an issue for me. So I really did not care. I was like, sign me up, I'll take that cheap flight, no problem. But if, for example, you're not a person that celebrates Christmas, you can also get great flight deals on Christmas Day, just so you know. So yeah, basically there you have it. 9 tips on how to save money on travel. If you think of any others that I haven't mentioned, do share with the class and we can all benefit from them. Just add them like in the comments below. Do also leave any comments about this podcast. If you have any questions for me or any like topics you think I should be talking about that you want to know about. But for now, I guess I will love you and leave you. I've been Kelly O'Brien and this has been These Corners of the World. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.